The Xbox Drive is powered by the You, Me, and Capri Patreon. We want to say thank you to some people, starting with our Diamond Executive Producers, Slimer Snarf, Lee Navarro, and Jonathan Brown. Also, our Platinum Producer, Robbie Bobby Miller. And then to our Gold Level Patrons like James Johnson, Gene K, Skinny Matt, Ashley Nicholson, Aaron Gropper, Trucker Sloth, Argo, Ryan Turford, Egg Shen, and Sony for Life. Thank you, everyone, for all of your support.
Hey, everyone, it's me, Sean Capri. I'm in my car, and you're listening to the most horsepowerful podcast on the internet. It's the Xbox Drive. I'm on a Skype call with my friend, Ryan Turford. He's the man on the moose, and it's a heat wave across all of Canada. I'm going to go to the library and pick up a game, Dragon Ball Z Kakarot, from the library. We're reopening, so buckle up, jump on in to the Xbox Drive.
Greater than X.
Hello, Sean Capri.
Dude, I did it while I'm like turning left here. Like, I normally am parked while I do that screaming part, and then I take off on my journey, but there's no time to waste. There's things to do. There's things to talk about. This guy didn't have his turning signal on, but now I learned that he's turning. Ryan Turford, did you know I do this from my car? I'm driving right now.
I had a sneaking suspicion, you know, after all this time, you'd think that I would have learned after 46
noticed.
Episodes of doing the show with you, Sean, that I would have learned by now. But, you know, today, it's just been such a revelation that I can't understand that I didn't notice for so long.
I've never been this explicit about it, I don't think. I've never actually really, really mentioned it, so.
You also have to throw in there as well that the only time I ever physically see you when we do the show is like the one or two times I see you when you're in your basement.
That's
so
true.
I can't see what you're doing. You could like throwing your hands in the air for all I know.
Until we get like unlimited data as like an option here in Canada for our phones, because I'm tethered. My laptop is tethered to the internet, and that's how the Skype thing all happens. But you know, and I feel bad about that even too, that we're using, you know, audio only. But if we ever get unlimited data, you'll get video as well. I would love to have a video version of this podcast. I think that would be
maybe
great.
Maybe when 5G finally comes to Canada, Sean, the reality might happen. But
yeah, hopefully.
That's not happening for a while.
I heard this causing COVID, though.
Don't even start. Anyways, this pile of something is the Xbox Drive. It's a show where we talk about Xbox, so we should probably do that before we jump into the Xbox talk. Of course, we had to clean the garage a little bit. Of course, just want to plug again our Xbox Games Showcase Extra Mile episode. We're not going to really be talking too much about the showcase on this episode, in case y'all are wondering why we're not doing more of the showcase up. It's because we went for like 3 hours talking about it with Donnie Reese last week.
Covered it.
Definitely make sure to check that show out on the podcast feed. And again, if you like what you hear from the Xbox Empire, make sure to check them out on your podcast service of choice as well. And special thanks to Donnie for having both of us on the show. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, man.
You and I and Donnie sitting down and talking for, again, about 3 hours of of the Xbox Games Showcase and the epicness of the showcase.
No doubt, man. Yeah, totally, tons of fun. And our takeover, or I guess we're just gonna go over to PSVG eventually here, man. Don't be surprised if that were ever to happen. But
what if we recorded them here?
That's true. Just jump on in the car. That's the whole thing. I can't believe nobody else has copied this idea, to be honest. It's not that hard.
You say this, but there's a lot of technology that goes into getting
true.
The podcast.
I shouldn't jinx it.
Sean.
That's true.
You
anything could
happen. Things.
Yeah, we've had troubles in the past.
You stole my catchphrase, Sean. You said anything could happen.
It could
that's
be
my,
anything.
That's what I said.
It could be anything.
So, Sean, speaking of it could be anything, what did you play this week? I mean, it could be anything.
It could be any. It really could. Ryan, I had a crisis of person, and you and I talked about this over text. I went away this weekend. We had a bit of a road trip. I had a six-hour drive, of which I was able to dedicate a little bit of time to some gaming, and I was like, that sounds like Switch time. As much as I would like xCloud to be... like, and I guess we're still in beta stage here, but as much as I would like that to be my solution for on-the-go gaming, like I mentioned earlier, like, we don't have unlimited data. So I really wanted to play, for some reason, like, Final Fantasy IX was in my head. I really wanted to play that. It is in Game Pass. We've celebrated that on the show, but it was also on sale on Nintendo Switch, and it was, like, I think $12. I'm like, I guess that counts to talk about it on the Xbox Drive, even though I played it on the Switch. But I'm going back to back, man, with some JRPGs here, with just finishing up Xenoblade. I'm still early in that. I wasn't able to spend 12 hours of time playing this game. But I like it, man. It definitely is, like, I don't have a huge amount of history with any really with Final Fantasy or anything like Chrono Trigger or anything like that. But I'm really just enjoying the characters that I've seen so far. We've gotten the princess out of her castle. She wanted to get out of there. And we're like, well, we were going to kidnap you anyways. So off we go on an adventure. And I'm still in this kind of weird spot part at the start where I'm not really sure like where the conflict is. She wanted to leave. We got her out of there. Everybody seems to be happy. And I think we're just going to go try and find some trouble at this point.
Well, the kingdom wants her back, Sean. They don't want her to leave. They want to keep her in the castle forever.
How are they going
to
find
Steiner is just like, he's going to try and sneakily find a way to get her back to the castle. That's what he does.
He does have this weird sort of vow and dedication to the queen, to the castle. So,
well, he's a knight. He's got to do that. He's got to do what he got to do.
Yeah.
But yeah, one of the things I love about Final Fantasy IX is it's basically like one of the only games on the PlayStation era that I would say is essentially just an SNES Square Enix JRPG on in 3D, essentially.
Right.
That's what I would equate Final Fantasy IX to. It's so much like games like Final Fantasy VI or Final Fantasy IV that it really just was so nostalgic to revisit that after getting Final Fantasy VII and Final Fantasy VIII, which really changed up the formula a bit, especially VIII, which was kind of a big departure from some of those older games.
Yeah.
So it was great to go back to it with Final Fantasy IX. And that's one of the things I loved about that game, even revisiting it now, because seeing how Final Fantasy has evolved now, sometimes it's great to just go back to the older style of Final Fantasy and check that out. And it's got like this whimsy and charm to it. Like it's not like Final Fantasy IX in particular is not this like moody, morose kind of experience. It's like a very like upbeat and
very
kind of joyful, light experience. Yeah.
Yeah, big time. I'm really liking it, man. Did you play it on Xbox as well? Because on Switch, there's some load time stuff that's just like, okay, can we get into this battle situation? That would be great.
Yeah, I haven't actually played it too much on Xbox. I did start it, but it was just one of those things where it's like, I'm not going to revisit that game until I've got the hankering for it, until I'm ready to just sit down with a JRPG and just kind of play it. And I'm just not in that space right now, but
It's just, well, you're
in
the demo
pick it up
space,
when it
I think.
Went on sale. There's that too. We'll get to that in a little bit, but yeah, I mean, Final Fantasy IX, fantastic game. If y'all have never played it and you like JRPGs, you should definitely check it out on Game Pass. But Sean, other game that you played on Game Pass this week, tell me about Grounded.
I almost forgot. Last night on stream, twitch.tv/SeanCapri, spent a couple hours with Grounded, which launched into early access yesterday, or game preview, or whatever we're calling it these days.
Game preview.
Dude, I mean, the first time that I saw this game, I was like, I mean, it's kind of cutesy. Everybody's making the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids comparison, and that's fine. The last time that they showed it off really started to get my interest. But still, I kind of had my guard up because I hear this survival thing, and I generally kind of steer away from games like Ark and things like that, Ark Survival. But, dude, I spent so much time, and like I blinked my eye, and like an hour and a half, 2 hours was gone. And I am totally in love with this game. This might be my on-ramp to survival games. It looks gorgeous. The design of everything looks great. The way that it kind of like walks you through the survival elements, I think, is fair. This is not, at least my experience with it, was not that like I walk in and I step outside and I freeze to death, or I walk out and like get attacked by something that is totally unfair. I think that the way that they walk you out with certain quests, or even very visible landmarks, like this giant science thing, I think they call it, or these big lasers sticking up out of the ground, they direct your attention in a really smart way. Even though you could wander wherever you wanted to, there's really, it's so open, but they focus your attention in such a great way. There's a tunnel that I would love to have gone down a little bit earlier, but I couldn't see anything. So then I go back and think about like, how can I start to gather materials for a light? And the natural quest line started to introduce crafting to me, to introduce like how I go from one place to the next, how I navigate the map. And all of it just seemed very accessible to me. And again, I don't like these games, man. I find them very prohibitive and almost exclusionary, because you have to have a certain understanding of how these things work. But this introduced all of those elements to me really, really nicely. And I never thought that I would think bugs are this terrifying. But I thought this ladybug was going to go down with a quick swat to the face. But that ladybug was tough, and she took me down, man. And it's so great. I want to kill all the aphids so that I can roast them up and eat, and then build up my weapons. So maybe one day I can take on one of these spiders. But I never thought I would be into something. This all sounds so goofy. Like, I thought we were into you know, mature and dark games and action and Halo and shooting things and carving people up with our chainsaw lancers. But this is so far from that, but so fun. And I also love to see it doing so well on Steam and on Twitch as well. I'm hyped for Grounded, man. I'm converted. I'm really enjoying it, dude.
Yeah, see, I see like just a lot of people really digging into this game and really enjoying it. It's just, it's cool to see that for all the hate that the Xbox event got last week, literally an Xbox first party game came out this week and everyone suddenly loves it. So it's just, I love just seeing the positivity come from that and definitely getting a chance to watching people check it out. Just like I checked out your stream last night. It looked really fun. So it's just, it's a game I'm looking forward to checking out at some point. I'm kind of with you though. I don't personally love survival games either. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is probably, like you said, probably a good on-ramp for people to check out survival games. And you touched on a lot of reasons why I don't like survival games, where a lot of times, like, for example, with a game like Ark Survival Evolved, I feel like anytime I pick up that game, I need to like open like a wiki page and like consult a whole bunch of stuff. And I don't like doing stuff like that when I'm playing games. Like, it takes me out of the experience.
I'm sure I'll get there. I'm sure that eventually it'll almost, if that's like end game type of stuff where I really need to get into the details, then like I've already put in the time and I understand how it all works. But a game like The Long Dark is another one that comes to mind, which like you literally will freeze to death if you don't figure out where to go. And it's just like, it doesn't seem fun, doesn't seem natural to explore at all, which is also a key part of all of this. So just love it, man. Somebody had mentioned that like everybody's waiting for Xbox to come out with like The Last of Us Killer or whatever it is. It's like they're not even going after that. With this and Sea of Thieves, like it's a totally different I don't know if it's fair to say like core gaming audience or hardcore or whatever you might want to call it, gaming Twitter. There are massive audiences for games like this, and it seems like Xbox is really leaning into that, which is kind of like its roots with Xbox Live to begin with, like multiplayer games. And my final point is, if anybody is interested in this game, I only play by myself and I had a great time. I'm seeing a lot of people jump in on multiplayer and having a great time, as this guy with a motorcycle is right beside me. Doesn't he know I'm supposed to be recording a podcast? Can you hear that? Oh my goodness gracious.
No, I actually can't hear it. My fan is probably louder than his motorcycle.
I can't hear anything. I can't hear myself think. But I'm talking way too long. I know you got to like, what'd you get to, 40 demos? This last week,
I got to 40 demos, but real quick, I want to touch on another game on Game Pass. I played Carrion this week, Sean.
Oh, you finished it too?
No.
No, so you didn't finish it.
I haven't. No, I haven't finished it yet. And part of the reason why is that I liked it when I first started playing it, Sean.
Uh-oh.
But here's the thing. I've kind of fallen off with Carrion, and here's why. It's a Metroidvania, which you know that I love.
Yeah.
I love Metroidvania games. But here's the thing. You have to put in a little more effort with this game as opposed to other Metroidvanias, because it's a Metroidvania with no map. And what's worse than a Metroidvania with no map is a Metroidvania with no map with areas that all look very similar to each other, where there's not like color differentiations or they don't really look visually different.
Yeah.
So you kind of get lost very easily in this game.
Yikes.
So that was kind of what I found while playing it. So like I felt like while I was playing it, like if I didn't map everything out, it was just going to be kind of an experience to sledge through. I love the gameplay of the game. I love the art style. You basically play as like a mass of monster. It's like a big like red goop, essentially. You play as a red goop monster that just goes around and like eats people. It like cuts them in half and like eats their heads and stuff.
Yeah.
You like hide in vents as people try and shoot you, and it's a really cool experience. Like, it's very unique. Like, there aren't really other games like this at all.
Yeah.
So I loved all of that stuff about Carrion, but it's just little nitpicky things like the fact that there's no map or the fact that you get lost very easily is just, it's a kind of a detractor for someone like me who really likes Metroidvania games and is, I guess, accustomed to certain things when playing this type of experience. It's almost like approaching a game where it's like a first-person shooter where you can't like invert your controls or something like
that.
That's how it feels like for me playing a Metroidvania with no map. It's very weird and archaic. Like, it feels like an NES game. Like, it feels like NES Metroid or something like that, which, again, those are great experiences, but you got to be, like, I feel like you almost have to be in the mood for wanting to chart all that stuff out. But even comparing it to the original Metroid on NES, even though there was no map in that game, you could very, very clearly tell where you were going because all the areas were like different colors or the areas themselves looked very distinctly different.
Yeah.
So you can kind of track in your mind where you were going. Whereas in Carrion, you're mostly in this underground military facility, but it's just it's basically just dirt and metal everywhere you go.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of hard to tell, hard to map out in your head where you're going. So
that would frustrate me a lot.
I kind of need to get out the graph paper and start doodling the map on graph paper and kind of go that way. And maybe I'll go back to it at some point. But yeah, it's just, I'm not disappointed in it. It's just, that's why I haven't gone back and finished it, unfortunately. It's just, I have to be in the mood for that type of experience. And right now I just haven't been in that place because, as you alluded to, Sean, I played 40 demos. In fact, actually more than 40 demos. The final count was 43. That's how many demos I played. I tried to play all of them. Like, I seriously tried to play all the demos as I talked about a few weeks ago, but I just didn't have the time to do all 77 demos. It's a lot of demos. So it's just, but I got to see some really cool games, and because we're running a little bit long and I don't want to spend too much time on this, I'm going to highlight three games real quick.
Nice.
Number one, I'm going to highlight Night Squad 2 from Chain Awesome Games. I love the name of their studio. Mm-hmm. They're based in Quebec. And the Night Squad 2, what's cool about it is it's essentially Bomberman, but with knights. And if you like games like Bomberman with the top-down, like, 8-player chaotic multiplayer with a bunch of different modes, Night Squad 2 is your game. It's a lot of fun. I actually put a lot of time playing into AIs with this game because the multiplayer wasn't in the demo, unfortunately. And, of course, there's no one in my house to play with, so I couldn't invite anyone to play with me. But, yeah, that was a really fun, surprisingly fun game, actually.
Nice.
And it's one of those things, too, where I was actually thinking of not getting to it right away, but actually, for full disclosure, the developer actually reached out to me on Twitter and was like, hey, here's a little bit about our game. We think you'll probably like it. You should check it out and let us know what you think. So I definitely checked it out and let them know my thoughts. But surprisingly, it was a lot of fun, and I wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't fun.
Yeah, so you could have talked about 42 other games.
Exactly. And of course, I talked about Chris Tales last week, so I'm not going to get into that. That one's probably still the best demo I played out of all the demos on the store. Next one, though, Scarcadia. This is from Studio Nice LLC. This is actually a dogfighting flight game, but basically it looks like Minecraft when you fly it. Like, it's like this like 8-bit kind of 3D visual graphics. You just fly around. It's like this cute dogfighting game where you shoot down other planes, you shoot down blimps that are attacking you. The demo itself was kind of freeform. It didn't give you specific missions to go on or anything like that. But I thought it was just a lot of fun to just go shoot down a bunch of planes and shoot down some of the other aerial things in the sky. And I like dogfighting games a lot. We don't see them that often. So definitely want to give that a shout. And then last one, this one really surprised me as well. Raj the Ancient Epic. This is from Nodding Heads Games. This is a game that was not on my radar at all. This game takes place in ancient India. So it's a unique setting, something we don't really get that often. And it really reminded me of a mix of Prince of Persia and God of War. It's a third-person isometric game where you don't really have control of the camera. And there's a ton of platforming, just like Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time. Like, that was the game that it really reminded me of. Mm-hmm. And then the combat is very similar to like the older God of War games. Like, it's not super button mashy, but it is like combo based, and you've got this staff that you can control lightning, and your character is very acrobatic, just like in Prince of Persia. So yeah, I really liked Raj the Ancient Epic, and definitely a game I'm eager to check out in September when it comes out. It's coming out next month. So just three really cool games on the store. Again, there were so many other awesome games that I checked out as well. I checked out Skatebird, and surprisingly, Sean, you told me that the controls weren't inverted for you, but there was no option to change the controls, like you said, but my controls were inverted by default.
Oh, what?
I don't know how that happened. I mean, I don't have the accessibility option turned on or anything like that, but when I played it, the camera was inverted, so I actually had a pretty good time playing that. Lots of amazing demos on the store that I got to check out, and I wish I could talk about them all here, but unfortunately we just don't have enough time for that.
It's
but
a demo show!
I will throw out a question from the carpool right now. I'm going to throw it to Seamus McIsaac at Famous Seamus, who asks, so last week Microsoft released over 70 demos for the Summer Game Fest showcase. I got to ask, have y'all played any of the demos? If so, what was your favorite? And I just talked about that. Also, do you think that Microsoft promoted this well enough? I feel that they just stopped promoting it just so they could hype the showcase. Heck, he even had trouble finding it, the event store on the Xbox store. And yeah, Seamus, I'm with you. When they talked about it in the initial blog post, they talked about it how they were going to add like a section on the dashboard for the demo event. But that didn't happen
right at
all. It was just, it was a icon in the store, and it was pretty buried under a lot of the sales that were going on and stuff like that, because we had a couple sales last week on the Xbox store. And yeah, it was, if you didn't know to look for it, you had a hard time finding it. And I mean, you could just go to the demo section, which is what I did. And basically, they're all listed in order of when they were added to the store, and all of the newest ones were all from this demo event. But yeah, it was just really bizarre to me that they had, they didn't really set up the event too well, I think. I think they kind of dropped the ball a little bit on discoverability. And I'm guessing you're in the same boat with this, right, Sean?
To the point where I didn't get to you much after Skatebird, honestly. Like the idea, and it almost seemed like too short. I don't know if it needs to be a little bit longer as well so that there can be conversation generated through some of these, like so that you and I actually have a chance to even like talk about like, what are you playing? Like, I want to try the game. Like the third game that you mentioned sounded awesome, but now it's a little bit gone. And I guess the thing that I often go to when we talk about lots of games, especially indie games, is can you, if you like that game, can you add it to a wish list? Can you add it to something that you're like alerted that when it becomes available for you to buy, you should be able to, or maybe it comes to Game Pass, like you should have that alert pop up. So it connects the dots a little bit. This is the first time they did it though, so there's understanding there, but you're right. They hyped it up in a way that you thought it was going to be much more prominent. So I think they did drop the ball in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and I will say as well, after playing a lot of these demos, they were very right to put in the disclaimer that some of these demos would be rough, because it was just, some of them were like pre-alpha demos, and it was just like the, and that's part of the reason too, where they're, most of these aren't available on the store to pre-order yet. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't go pre-order Rudge or Chris Tales or Night Squad 2. None of them are available for pre-order yet. Or likewise, I can't add them to a wish list because they added the wish list function to the dashboard in a pretty recent update. So you can actually do that now, but if the game is available for pre-order, I can't do that. So I'll naturally probably forget about it.
Totally.
In September, when there's a bajillion other games, like when Raj comes out, I'm excited to play it, but it's just one of those things where it's like, I mean, Avengers is out that month, and Kingdoms of Amalur and stuff, so there's just going to be so many games piled on top of it that I might just forget about it if it's not on my wish list. So I wish there was more of that stuff, like you said as well. But John, it's been 21 minutes, and we haven't even gotten to the news, so we should slam the brakes on this conversation and get into the news. But it's been a pretty light news week because we did have the showcase this week. But we got a couple interesting stories this week that I wanted to make sure to get into. First up, August Games with Gold have been announced, including Portal Knights on August 1st, MX Unleashed, which is an original Xbox game, on August 1st. And then we got Override Mech City Battle on August 16th. And then Red Faction 2, which is also an OG Xbox game, on August 6th. Awesome to see OG Xbox games on Games with Gold, but other than that, it's kind of a weak month for Games with Gold, Sean.
You hope that that the rumors are true, that they're maybe bringing an end to Xbox Live and maybe an end to Xbox Games with Gold, in which case, maybe the last one that they do will be a big deal, but these last couple months have been a little bit womp womp.
Yeah, I mean, it's appealing to me because the last couple Games with Gold have been good for older games.
Sure.
So like either retro-inspired titles like when in June, or again, just these two OG Xbox ones are actually kind of exciting for me, especially Red Faction 2 is just a game that me and my friends spent a ton of time playing.
Red Faction's good, yeah.
And I'm excited to actually replay it again because I don't have a physical copy on OG Xbox yet. It's just one of those things where I've never gotten around to it, but not all on Xbox One, so I'll try it there. But yeah, other than that, it's just the two... Xbox One games we got are kind of not great. Yeah. All right. Next one. Exciting story. Or exciting for me anyways. Ayuden Chronicle was announced for Xbox Series X and Xbox One. It's the spiritual successor to Konami's Suikoden RPG series. It was announced via Kickstarter and has been fully funded for Xbox Series X and Xbox One. And it'll be coming sometime in 2022. The trailer looked amazing for this game. It kind of looks like a mix of Octopath Traveler and the old Suikoden games. I'm really impressed with what they showed with this game, and I cannot wait for this game. I'm super excited for this. But Sean, are you at all excited for this? You don't peg me as someone who played Suikoden on original PlayStation or anything.
I didn't play. I played it on Vita, but not a lot of it. I didn't get very, very far. I played both Suikoden and Suikoden 2 on Vita. And I also played Octopath, which that's what jumped out to me. I'm glad that you said it because you're much more of the authority on that type of thing. And I'm like, that art style definitely reminded me of a little bit of Octopath. So I'm excited mostly because there is a huge audience for this thing, and there was no hope of Suikoden really coming back in any way, shape, or form. But I mean,
well, Konami was never going to bring this series back ever.
Right. So yeah, 2022 is a far way off. I have a particular relationship with Kickstarter in general, but I'm glad that a lot of people believe in this and really just came over and above with, I think last time I checked, it was at like $1.4 million or something crazy.
It actually is like 2.2 when I checked this morning.
Yeah.
And they wanted $500,000 for the game. So
yeah.
it's very, very hilarious how much they undershot it. But this whole situation reminds me of Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, which is a game that y'all know that I love very much. And I can't wait to see another retro revival. Like, I love how the developers that worked on these older games from Konami, for example, are able to come to Kickstarter, get some cash, and then bring out a spiritual successor to a game that Konami is kind of abandoned.
Totally.
And
just like Mighty Number 9. What a success story with Mighty Number 9, right? That's what you mean?
No.
No.
Just
no like
Sean.
Okay.
Just never bring up that game again or else this podcast's over. You monster. All right, next up. This is another feel-good story that I wanted to talk about real quick. Felix Klein, who works at Radical Fish Games, confirmed via a podcast that CrossCode has more players on Xbox One than all other platforms the game is available on combined.
Finally.
We won, Sean.
Finally.
We won. We got all the CrossCode players.
Dude, this never happens. It's always like the game's free on everything else, but for some reason, everybody's buying it and playing it over on Nintendo Switch. Like, finally, there's a great success story with relation to the other platforms. A really good feel-good story. And it's not a traditional type of Xbox type of experience. And I think that's kind of like the biggest thing about this story that jumps out to me is that, like, it's not a Halo, Gears, or Forza style game at all. It's a very, like, Japanese-inspired game that Xbox players are loving. And that's the shift I think both of us have really been hoping for over the last couple of weeks or months.
Yeah, I mean, Xbox players are very starved for this type of experience, and it was awesome to see CrossCode even come to Xbox Game Pass, but to see so many people adopted on Xbox, I think, is an amazing move, but also I think it's going to inspire more developers to jump on Game Pass.
Exactly.
I think the success of this and a lot of other games just show indie developers, hey, the Game Pass route is probably a good way to go about things, especially because this also probably led to increased sales on consoles like Switch or PlayStation 4 as well, because their friends are telling their other friends, hey, I played this game on Game Pass. It's awesome. You should definitely check it out.
I got to get to that game still too, man. Holy, what am I doing with freaking Final Fantasy IX? I should be playing that game because it's on, oh my gosh.
But you couldn't bring it with you on Switch.
I know.
But on Switch.
I just started Grounded. There's too many games, man. Good problem
Hashtag
to have,
too many games.
Hashtag too many
For
games.
For sure. Next up, and this one got me pretty excited this morning, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 is getting 37 additional songs added to its soundtrack. In addition to all the original songs that were added previously, the music, it comes from multiple areas, so it's not just modern music. There's music from the 80s, 90s, and so on, including bands like Billy Talent, a
Here
track called Quest, Sublime, Real Big Fish, and a whole lot more. There's a full playlist available on Spotify. You can go listen to the soundtrack now. It's like 47 songs including in that game. And I put a link to the whole playlist in the show notes, so you can definitely check it out there. A lot of great music going into Tony Hawk. And yeah, I think Activision's doing this one right, and I can't be more excited for Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2.
Coming up.
And I think the Warehouse demo is coming out next month, so I'm excited to play that. I think it's August 10th they said it's coming out. So
is that only for people who pre-ordered, or is that available for other people too?
It is only for people who pre-ordered.
Dang.
Yeah.
Paywall.
I pre-ordered it, so I'll be playing it.
I'll cancel pre-order. I'm just kidding. I'm going to buy
it. You can do it that way. And I mean, I knew I was going to buy it anyway, so there's that. Last story, and this one kind of makes me a little bit sad, but also a little bit happy. Moon Studios has entered into a publishing deal with Private Division for their next game, which is an unannounced action RPG. They confirmed that, yes, their new game after Ori and the Will of the Wisps is going to be an action RPG, and it sounds like it's going to be multi-platform.
Yeah.
Man, I really wish
they
would have just stuck with Xbox, Sean.
Yeah.
I can't believe this. I'm very sad about
The one that got away is getting away. This is terrible. Well, it's not terrible. More people are going to be able to play great games, and obviously a lot of news coming out of Cuphead, now coming onto PlayStation 4 as well. But damn, like, Ori is the one, and it's so good. This is why I want more people to celebrate games like cross-quartered games, like in this case with Ori, just so they stay, so they become like pillars and things that you come to know and connect with Xbox. So I mean, obviously, this isn't the Ori series going somewhere else, but Moon Studios, like, of all the studios that they bought, you got to wonder what the conversations were like, or if they even happened at all, if Phil tried to buy out Moon. But
Yeah. I would imagine that they probably wanted to stay independent. And I think that was like, if they wanted to be bought by Microsoft, I think they would have been by now. Mm-hmm. I think that's just the idea behind it. So unfortunately, it's just one of those things where it is going to be multi-platform, but in a way, like you said, it's actually a good thing in a way, because then more people are going to get a chance to check out Moon's amazing games. And from what we're hearing about this action RPG, they're trying to hire a lot of people to develop a Zelda Diablo-like action RPG. Like, yes, please.
Sounds
cool. I'm on board.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm excited for their next game. Well, Sean, let's let some of our friends into the car with us. It's time for the carpool. And we got a couple other questions to go this week. So we'll start it off with the Co-op Mode podcast at Co-op Mode Pod on Twitter. They ask, what games are you expecting from the May and July events to day one launch with Series X? And unfortunately, this is just a little bit of a tough question to answer since we don't know the date at this time. But I'll take a stab at it real quick. So, I mean, I think the launch games will be Watch Dogs Legion, Halo Infinite, and then the medium. Those are the three that are like solid locks, mm-hmm, I would say. Mm-hmm. Anything beyond that, we've got The Ascent, which was shown from the May showcase. And then everything else is just kind of dependent on when the console comes out. For example, if it comes out around when Assassin's Creed Valhalla comes out, that'll be a day one release. But other than that, from the showcase itself, unfortunately, again, the July showcase, most of those games seem like they're very far away. Like, none of those, like, Psychonauts 2 would have been the one game from that showcase, besides Halo Infinite, that I would have said was a launch game. And we already know that it was just delayed till next year. So, and from the May event, a lot of those games are smaller games that are very nebulous dates at this point. Like, Bright Memory Infinite.
Tetris Effect was holiday.
Or Tetris Effect's a launch game. You're right. I think that's going to be a launch game, too. Yep. I forgot about Tetris Effect. But yeah, like, a lot of the games from the May Showcase, too, are really nebulous. Like, we don't really know too much about any of their development cycles at this point as well. So I think there are four games that are locked. Crossfire, I think the multiplayer will be available. I'm iffy on the single player. I think the single player might be 2021.
Well, you and I have talked about this a lot. Whenever they tell us how much this thing is going to cost, that's when they tell us what's day one. So it's actually not terrible that they haven't really lined that up, because why would you waste, like, here's what you're playing on day one. You can't pre-order it. We're not going to tell you how much it is. Like, that, they have to align. I've been consistent with that this entire time.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, yeah, it's good that we know at least four, and again, we can count Cyberpunk and Assassin's Creed kind of in that launch lineup. We know about six games.
Yeah.
That'll be within, like, the launch week of Xbox Series X. Beyond that, though, I kind of like that there's a bit of mystery there, because it could be anything, Sean.
It could be anything. It could be anything. The answer could be anything.
I mean, no one really knows, but
title
it's kind
of the
cool
show.
Not knowing,
could be anything.
And I mean, for example, Call of Duty got leaked on a bag of Doritos this week, so I imagine that'll probably be a launch
really?
Game.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
The logo got launched, leaked a couple days ago on Doritos.
Was there PS4
things.
Stuff related to it at all? Like, generally, like,
no,
the,
it,
okay.
No, it just said you had some EXP codes on the thing.
Interesting.
Have
interesting.
A platform specific on it.
Oh, by the way, it's so awesome. I don't know if you've seen any, like, ads. I've getting ads on Instagram. Seeing Destiny 2 with that Xbox splash at the start is so awesome. I love it, dude.
I haven't seen that yet, but that's good to see. Also, Destiny Beyond Light is probably a launch game too.
Yep.
Now that I think about it, because it'll be probably out the week that I'm assuming the console will come out. So,
I can't wait.
Yeah, that's another.
Yep.
And Avengers as well. We just got the Avengers War Table today. The
Holy
second
crap.
And I imagine that version's probably going to be ready to go at launch as well. So, and plus, we know free to play games are getting updates too, like Fortnite, mm-hmm. Warframe, Rocket League.
Oh, Forza 2. I don't know when the update is going to happen for Forza 4, but they were talking a lot about, like, potentially a 120 frames per second mode on that as well. A lot of Ori. Mm-hmm. Ori, of course. Well, that'll be, I think, 2021 is when they said they called it. The
definitive
edition.
2020 actually on the thing. Mm. It said 2020 on the splash screen. So, yeah, that'll probably be console launch. And same with Gears 5.
Yeah, Gears 5 for sure. Oh, Tactics we don't know about as well. Gears Tactics.
Ooh, that's a good one too. Yeah, that'll probably be a launch game.
But Xbox has no games.
That's true. There's no games at all. But honestly, if you compare it to the PS5 launch, that's literally, you could literally substitute Halo with Spider-Man, and it literally is the same launch lineup, pretty much. Except the medium, which we have
that's
exclusively
true.
On Xbox. So there you go. That's your day
Suck
one,
it.
As far as we know of. I'm more excited to just learn what the day one is when we learn more about the console, probably next month. Mm-hmm. Next up, Marcus O'Neill at Marcus O'Neill 79 asks, Sony fanboy here. The recent Xbox showcase has me finally considering jumping into the Xbox ecosystem as a pure Game Pass machine.
Yeah.
Should I consider purchasing the Xbox One now, or should I wait a few months for the Lockhart? And this is actually a really interesting question, Marcus, but the answer I'm going to give you is probably pretty simple. The answer is I would probably wait for the Lockhart, at least until we get the Lockhart announcement.
Yeah.
Before making that decision, because I'm anticipating we'll get that announcement next month. At least I'm assuming we will. Then you'll know the price and then you could do like an even better comparison. But I don't see a reason to jump into an Xbox One X, if you can even find one right now, at the price it's at. Or even if you wanted to just jump in to the Xbox ecosystem with an Xbox One S, it might be better to wait till Lockhart's announced, because there might be a price drop announced for the Xbox One S when that happens.
Yeah. So yeah. And for anybody else who's really just wanting to get into the Xbox ecosystem for Game Pass, again, I highly expect them to announce All Access, this ability to have your Xbox Game Pass subscription plus maybe $10 or $15 per month. So maybe $15 to somewhere between like $25 and maybe $35 per month. You get Game Pass and the system, and you don't buy it. Like, or you don't have a lump sum payment to take the box from the store. It's just like your phone. So I think if you're already in the mindset of like, you're going to be on a subscription to Game Pass anyways, I think that you're probably more inclined to just do the Game Pass and system as part of the subscription altogether.
Yeah, and actually, I did the math, because Xbox All Access came out in the United States last year in November, and they had the pricing structure for both the Xbox One S and X. Mm-hmm. And I did the price breakdown to calculate how much of a value it is or how much you're paying extra. And honestly, it was basically just the price of 12 months of gold, or 12 months of Ultimate, and then the console price itself. You weren't really paying
right
anything.
It's
over,
literally just because, broken down into 24 payments.
Yeah, exactly. So honestly, I think that it might be a really good value to go that way, that route as well, if you live in a territory that supports it as well. Because again, right now it's only available in the United States, and we don't know if they're expanding it to other territories.
Yeah.
Like here in Canada, I don't think we're going to get that option, unfortunately. Mm. Otherwise, I would probably even actually consider, if the deal was right for Xbox Series X when it came out, like rather than buying the console outright.
Yeah.
Since I'm already going to be paying for Game Pass anyways. Mm-hmm. Since I don't have a bunch of it stocked. So yeah, it's an interesting question. And yeah, I would say at least hold off until they announce Lockhart next month.
Just for sure.
Wait a month. And then I think that'll be the best time to make the comparison. But yeah, definitely you have a lot of options available to you. And last question from Mr. Glorious One, and this is a bit of a read, but I'm going to read it out here. I think Xbox had a good solid event last Thursday. They showed a lot of different unique and diverse looking titles that really put a smile on my face. But like always, the internet wants to be crazy. Nintendo and Sony are both going in different directions and are more, for the most part, getting praised for going in those different directions. But I might be wrong here. But Xbox, who are actually been more accessible and consumer friendly to the audience, are getting very mixed reactions, and I don't like to see it.
Yeah.
And I don't really get it. They are giving everyone four different options for playing their games: PC, Series X, and Lockhart, Xbox One, and xCloud, giving you, the consumer, the choice, along with 100-plus games, is the best value for gamers in Xbox Game Pass. So my question is, ultimately, what else can Xbox do? They're the most accessible and consumer-friendly, and they're not even getting praised for it like they should be. I think Alana Pierce said it best. She had a great video that came out this week talking about why she can't understand why people aren't freaking about how good a value Game Pass is, mm-hmm. and are more focused on the fact that, oh, so Xbox doesn't have games, and they show look terrible.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's a weird narrative to have. I honestly, when you and I watched the showcase, Sean, I never imagined that was the reaction people were going to have.
Same.
After it ended. Like, I thought what we were seeing was great.
Yep.
I was like, I'm excited at all these games. But no, just seeing the reaction afterwards, I honestly can't understand it. And the thing is, and I thought about this a little bit, because I saw your question when you posted it yesterday, and I would say, unfortunately, at this time, Microsoft hasn't made up enough ground where they honestly can win people over yet. I think that they still got a lot of work to do to prove that these games are awesome and that Xbox has compelling games for people to play. Mm-hmm. Yes, obviously, Xbox does have compelling games for people to play, but they need to do... I think they just need to bring this new crop of games in to show people, hey, jump on Xbox Game Pass because there are amazing games to play here.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Where Sony has been building that up for years.
Right.
And Xbox, unfortunately, is just, especially after the Xbox One debacle when it launched, unfortunately just has to make up that ground again.
Yep. Stay the course. Get some influencer in favor. I think Ilana Pierce is basically like the first person to just go like, wait a second, something's happening over with Xbox, because all the podcasts, like everybody talks about PlayStation. Even if you're like a multi-platform podcast, most lean towards PlayStation. So this is going to, they have to stay the course to win some of those people over. I think the Kind of Funny Xcast with our friend Snowbag Mike is a good example of this, where you just need more prominent voices talking about their love for Xbox. And that has to come from Game Pass. I think a struggle that I identify, even just exploring this in my mind right now, Ryan, is that people who often in high prominent positions, they get free stuff anyways. So I'm wondering if the value of Game Pass isn't really striking them in the way that it's going to strike like the rest of the community. So it's going to be more like indie podcasts like us that don't get everything for free, that we still like we're the every gamer. So I think it'll be a little bit more grassroots in that way, where it won't be like top down, big voices, big influencers. There was one person breaking down all the guests that Jeff Keighley had on. People just like not having any idea about Xbox or liking any of those games. And it's, I think that's just indicative of where the influencer market is and where a lot of gamers are. But we'll get there, man. We are slowly but surely we're getting there. People are recognizing why there's value here. So I'm disappointed like him, but we're there. We're getting there.
Yeah, I think people are turning around on this, but it's not going to be an overnight
thing. It's
going to probably take a year or two into the console life cycle before I think people start coming around. But Sean, we got to go. So before we go, Sean plugs go.
Cyberpunk 2077, I want you on Game Pass. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Sean Capri. And I'm streaming every once in a while at twitch.tv/Sean Capri. And if you like the show and want early access to a bunch of stuff, go to patreon.com/YouMeCapri.
Very nice, my friend. As for me, you can find me on Twitter at Ryan Turford. That's T-U-R-F-O-R-D, because everyone always asks. And also make YouTube videos over on youtube.com/RyanTurford. I relaunched my channel on Friday, even though you're listening to this on Thursday, but I'm giving you all the sneak peek that it's happening. I'm doing a bunch of retro stuff there, so if you like retro games, come over and say hello. And last but not least, you can find us on Twitter at The Xbox Drive. For Sean Capri, I'm Ryan Turford. This has been episode 151 of The Xbox Drive, and we're out. Bye.
We're at the library. I'm going to pick up Dragon Ball Z now. Bye. We'll be right back.